You first saw me in the spring, when the trees were fully bloomed and your nose ran faster than your legs through the park. I was sitting in a lilac sundress, reading at the foot of an ancient oak. The wind swirled through my black hair, covering my face while you looked my way. You couldn't really see me, so you kept sniffling your way around the park. It was just a glance, no more than a passing moment, but it was enough. You didn't know me, couldn't pick me out of a crowd, but you remembered. A week later, you saw me at the cafe, behind the insanely large hat of some old woman. That time you saw my lips curling into a hungry smile, along with my favorite tank top and jean shorts. Again, just a glance, but you saw a bit more of me. Somehow you knew that I was the same woman as before. We didn't see each other again for a few months. It was blisteringly hot out when you saw me drive by. The reflection on my windshield hid my eyes, but you could see me singing along to something on the radio.
How was this?
My hair was blonde now, but you knew who I was. You were driving and chatting with your friend, so you didn't have time to linger on me. Only a glance. The first time, it was a coincidence. The second time, it felt different. Now, you were actively looking for me everywhere. Every windy day, every nose buried in a book, every big hat, every tinted window taunted you. You began to see me in your dreams, but my eyes were always covered by something. Blinds in a window, a stranger's arm on the street, an umbrella that I wasn't holding, an awning outside of a shop, or even a pitch black shadow at midnight. It took several more months to see me again. The sweltering summer heat gave way to an autumn chill, and your dreams of me had passed. I was walking through a parking lot at just the right speed, angle, and distance that a street lamp stayed perfectly between us, blocking my face. Long, curly hair, the color of falling leaves, flowed out of my favorite purple hoodie, and my loose sweatpants caught under my sneakers. I looked nothing like I did in the spring, but you knew. You stopped, so I stopped. You leaned, so I leaned, always keeping my face covered. No matter what you did, you couldn't really see me. You called out to me, closing the distance, and walked past the street lamp. But I vanished. In the passing moment that you looked to the side, I was gone. A chill ran down your spine. You shook off the yearning need to see me and finished walking to your car. As the engine growled to life, you noticed that you'd gotten into the back seat for some reason. You could feel your keys still in your pocket, but your arms would not move. As we left the parking lot, I glanced through your rearview mirror and you finally saw my eyes. Only a glance. But you knew it was me. I drove for hours out of the city and into the leaf-laden mountains. You burned your gaze into the rearview mirror, but I never looked back again. You screamed yourself hoarse, demanding to know who I was and why you couldn't move. But I just turned on the radio to drown you out. When we finally arrived at the cabin, It was midnight. I turned the car off and walked into the cabin, leaving the door open. I lit several candles and got the hearth burning. You can see your breath as motor function returns to your body. The keys are in your pocket. You should leave, but you won't. You need to see me, all at once. My scattered image won't complete itself in your mind. You leave your car behind and walk into the warmth of the cabin. A roaring fireplace greets you on the right, casting its orange light on the rest of the room. Two leather-bound chairs snuggle up to the fire, as though the dusty wool blankets draped over both of them are not enough to fight off the midnight chill. There are cabinets and a wooden dining table on the other side of the room, and an ancient-looking queen-size bed in the corner next to the window. In the flickering light, I am nowhere to be seen, but the cabin door closes behind you. A chill runs down your spine as my hands wrap around you. My vanilla and cinnamon scent fills the air, mixing with the burning pine wood. Hot, hard nipples press into your back, and my feral voice is in your ear as I slide your shirt above your head. You can see my panting breaths as I bend over, kissing down your back, then eagerly pulling your pants and boxers to the floor. Despite your incessant urge to see my face, you don't turn around. You let my hands wander, searing an otherworldly heat across your cooling, sweat-soaked skin. But you do not burn. I trace my fingertips up and down your chest, around your nipples, and down to your belly. You can't help but look to the left at the shaky shadows we cast on the cabin wall. My tongue creeps in the darkness before you feel it sizzle, tracing along your back muscles. You are desperate to turn around, to overpower and conquer me, but you do not. You know that I am much stronger than my gentle hands and love bites let on. I turn you towards the fire and push you forward, matching your steps with my own. The old cabin floorboards groan under our weight as the pine sap crackles and pops. I kiss and gnaw hungrily at your back while my hands tease your throbbing cock and full balls. You are smart enough to let me take my time exploring your body. As a reward, I grab your right hand and pull it behind you, guiding it to my wetness. Without instruction, you begin to curl your fingers in and out of me. My knees buckle and I lean harder into you while stroking you next to the fire. As we continue panting and moaning together, I nip at your earlobes and leave sloppy hickeys on your back and neck. Without realizing it, I begin to claw and scratch at your chest, because your fingers are quickly pulling an orgasm from me. I pump your cock faster, begging to come with your knuckles buried inside me. You ignore the pain as I dig my nails into your torso and scream into the empty mountains. Before I do any more damage, I loosen my grip and tell you to sit on the thick, dusty rug by the fire. I tell you not to look up at me, and you listen well. Your eyes are quickly drawn to the floor as I step and turn in front of you, dripping and burning the old rug with my unnatural need. I step forward and you meet me halfway with your tongue. I drip down your chin and chest as you raise your fingers up and into me, sending more of my shrieks through the trees. Like a man in a desert oasis, you drank deeply from my well, and I risked drowning you in it. You were so drunk on me that you tried to sneak a glance upward, just a glance, but I was waiting for it. my head thrown back so that you could only see the silhouette of my neck and jawline as I fell over the edge of climax once again. As I shook and shivered against your tongue, you kept your eyes locked upwards, wanting to see me. I do not look down. I push you onto your back, first with my knee, then my foot. Your chest is slick with my wetness. I finally look down to see you. The fire rages behind me, throwing my shadow all around the cabin while keeping my face hidden in darkness. You can see the gleam of my cum-drunk, cock-hungry smile, though. You blink, and I am on the floor in between your legs. You're right to be afraid of what I can do to you. But you are lucky that I only wish to drain you of your cum, not your soul. Not yet, at least. The heat of my mouth is overwhelming as it envelops your tip and slowly slides deeper and deeper until I have tasted your entire length. My tongue splits and simultaneously massages both of your heavy balls while I fuck you with my throat. I do not come up for air. I do not need to breathe. I need your cum, and I need it now. You grab my head and try to pull me up to see my face, but my chaotic hair always blocks your view, and my head will not budge any further than I wish. It doesn't take long for you to burst. I drink eagerly, using my tongue to squeeze your balls in time with every pulse as it flows straight into my empty stomach. I make you come for much longer than you're used to. I drain every possible drop out of you and into me before letting it out into the cool night air. You feel incredibly weak as my hand travels up your stomach and over your face. You are still rock hard because I want you to be. Your balls are full again because I want them to be. I'm not done with you yet. I squat just above your hypersensitive tip as it pulses, making you beg for more. You embarrass yourself with weak pleas while thrusting your hips up towards me, always trying to get a glimpse. But my hand ensures that you can't quite see what you need. After a sufficient amount of begging, I let my weight finally fall onto your hips, enveloping your cock in a pleasure so close to pain you can barely tell the difference. I ride you with a reckless abandon, and it makes you roar like a wild animal, despite your weakened state. To my surprise, you use both hands to draw me down into a deep kiss, never stopping your hips from matching my frantic pace. Even when I'm this close, you can't really see me, but you no longer care. All you care about is pumping me full of your seed because I'm begging for it. I'm gasping and moaning into your lips as we both get lost in these feral movements. Before long, you grab my hips and bury yourself to the hilt, filling me with everything you've got. I clench around you, savoring every shuddering thrust. You rut your final drops into me, shaking droplets of my hot sweat down onto your chest. I gladly take all of your cum and place a kiss on your forehead. Thoroughly exhausted, you go limp underneath me in more ways than one. You've earned this, so I make you drift off to sleep with your soul intact. I make sure you dream of me again, but when you wake, I am gone. You are still in the cabin. You smother the embers of last night's fire and inspect the floor for evidence that I was ever really here. There are many blackened droplets scorched into the floorboards where we fucked. Your car is still outside. You get dressed and drive back into town. You don't know how you got home, but you did. You do not tell anyone about last night. You don't tell anyone about me, the woman you could never really see. All for the chance to maybe see my hungry smile again.